This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by the Zona Plus, a new effective non-drug treatment for high blood pressure. It's been a long time since I've been this excited about a new natural medical innovation. Zona Plus is the real deal. It's a safe, easy way to lower your blood pressure naturally. To find out more, go to tryzona.com or call toll-free 1-888-408-6141. That's 1-888-408-6141 or tryzona.com. Welcome to today's Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and today's clinical focus is on cranberry and its health benefits, or lack thereof, because recently there was a controversial article published in a major medical journal, Journal of the American Medical Association. And the thrust of that article was that cranberry, which is so often reputed to be helpful for urinary tract infections, doesn't really work. And in fact, in an editorial in the Journal of the American Medical Association, the editorialist wrote, "It's time to move on cranberry. Cranberry, forget about cranberry. It's not worthwhile." It was widely reported in the press that cranberry just didn't pass muster in the latest, most definitive trial in a major medical journal. Today, we've invited an expert on cranberry. Yes, there is such a thing. She's Dr. Amy Howell. She's an associate research scientist at the Marucci Blueberry and Cranberry Research and Extension Center. Okay, that's at Rutgers University, the University of New Jersey, where she works on isolating natural products from cranberries and blueberries that benefit health. She's been engaged in research for well over two decades, identifying the active compounds in cranberries that prevent urinary tract infections. In fact, she's written a very important paper on that subject. And so she is one of the world's experts precisely on the role of cranberries in maintenance of urinary tract health. Amy and her team have isolated specific compounds from cranberry fruit called condensed tannins or proanthocyanidins, which were found to prevent E. coli bacteria from attaching to cells of the urinary tract. More on that in a few moments when we begin our discussion. This is actually research that's sponsored by the National Institutes of Health and the National Center for Complementary and Alternative Medicine. So mainstream research and an expert on cranberries. It's a pleasure having you on Intelligent Medicine, Dr. Howell.
Oh, well, thank you very much for having me.
It's my pleasure. So first of all, give us a little background. It may amaze people to hear that there is a place that is specifically dedicated to blueberry and cranberry research. And, you know, when I called your office, there's a message on, it's interesting, there's a message that says, it's like you go into voicemail and it says, "Welcome to the Cranberry Research Center." And so tell us about that place.
Yes, well, we are the premier national center for cranberry research, and we also study blueberries, but today's discussion is on cranberries, and there's a lot to talk about. But we are actually a satellite center of Rutgers University in New Brunswick, up near New York. And they like to locate research centers out where the stakeholders are, where the growers are, or where the problem is, or the animal is located. For example, they have a marine mammal rescue center near Atlantic City, and we just happen to be located in the middle of the New Jersey Pine Barrens, where blueberries and cranberries, which are native to North America, have actually been growing for many, many years. And this is kind of the heart of the growing region in New Jersey.
This actually may be a misconception.
The third largest grower of cranberries in the entire world.
So. But there's a misconception, because I think a lot of people think that Maine is the leading state for cranberries, right? But it turns out that maybe New Jersey holds that title.
Well, actually, the number one state is Wisconsin, followed by Massachusetts, followed by New Jersey. And Maine is known for wild blueberries.
Okay, there you go. All right.
So, yeah, you're close.
But anyway, there's a big economic stake in supporting the cranberry industry in New Jersey because it's a big deal. Okay, so that's why it's located at Rutgers. So, all right, so what you guys have been doing research on many properties of blueberries. You know, first we want to tackle the urinary tract preventive treatment aspect of blueberry concentrates. But, you know, what's, tell us about the article that started the brouhaha in the first place.
Well, cranberries have, you know, been known for many years in a sort of a folklore sense for preventing urinary tract infections. They don't actually treat them. And we have been doing research, systematic research, clinical research for the last 25 years in this area and have had quite a few positive studies. And we have kind of had to beat back the media a little bit because we occasionally do get bad press from clinical trials that do not turn out right. And there have been a number of reasons why they don't turn out right, because cranberry is a food product. And so it's not a pharmaceutical drug. So if you are going to perform a clinical trial, normally, if you were a pharmaceutical drug, you would have one single compound that you use. It's standardized. Everybody takes the same thing. And when you do a meta-analysis of different clinicals using this same compound, they're comparable. Whereas in the cranberry world, people will use all kinds of different forms of cranberry. For example, the juice or the dried cranberries or powdered cranberry. Put into capsules, which was the case with this particular study I'm going to be talking about. And so it's very difficult to make comparisons about these trials, and often the products that are used in the trials are not standardized properly. So they don't have the right amount of the active component, which you mentioned as proanthocyanidin, or as we call it, PAX. Or the material has been degraded and, you know, it won't work. And so you spend all this money on these clinical trials and the research material, isn't up to snuff. Now, a Cochrane review came out, which is, you know, the Cochrane database of systemic reviews, came out in 2012 and basically saw this problem with these cranberry studies and gave cranberry a negative score, if you will, and said, well, there's some studies that came out well and some that didn't, but we're just going to say there's just not enough evidence here. And so they gave some very good recommendations in that systemic review to use standardized products and to pay attention to things like dose and efficacy prior to starting the trial, and use populations that are likely to benefit from taking cranberry. And we've done that. We've come out with a number of studies in the cranberry research world since 2012 that have shown a positive benefit for cranberry in a number of different demographics. Well, this latest study in Journal of American Medical Association was done on a very narrow population. In fact, it involved elderly women in nursing homes, and it was not on recurrent urinary tract infection prevention with cranberry. It was done on something called bacteriuria, which is the presence of bacteria in the urine. Now, the problem is that elderly women in nursing homes very often have high levels of bacteria in their urine without actually having a urinary tract infection be present.
In fact, if I could interrupt you, the latest guidelines have come out against treating these types of situations. It used to be thought, oh, you've got bacteria in your urine, you must take an antibiotic. But actually, studies have shown that while it's not an optimal situation, you may actually do more harm than good, create bacterial resistance or create side effects when women harbor just a few bacteria in their urine, which is common, especially in older women.
Absolutely. You're absolutely dead on. And the Infectious Disease Society of America recommends not treating this particular group of people, this elderly women in nursing homes, because of this antibiotic resistance issue, because they're on so many different drugs and so many different antibiotics that they are particularly susceptible to development of antibiotic resistance. And so here you have this situation where you've got these elderly people, and you know the average age of these subjects was 87.
Oh my goodness!
And they were so debilitated. I mean, 37 of the original 180 subjects actually died during the 1 year study.
Yeah.
So, you know, these people were expected to give clean catch urine samples. And I mean, I'm just looking at the study now, and it acknowledges that 37% of the subjects had impaired mental status, described as being non-alert or delirious.
Yikes.
And 68% of the subjects had bladder incontinence, and 44 had fecal incontinence.
Yikes.
So, you know, how could these study subjects possibly have produced an uncontaminated clean catch urine?
Mm-hmm.
That's one problem. The other problem is basically that these people came into the study. A lot of them had bacteriuria, but 42% of them, in fact, did not have it at the study entry. So when you're giving somebody this cranberry to see if it's going to reduce the number of bacteria in your urine and you don't suffer from the problem, it's kind of useless to test these people.
Mm-hmm.
So this study was kind of unremarkable in that, all right, here are these people with bacteria in their urine. We're going to give them cranberry and see if it works to reduce bacteriuria. But they're not suffering from any urinary tract symptoms.
So what we're proving, actually, we're trying to prove one thing with a surrogate marker. In other words, it's not about urinary tract infections. It's about the presence of bacteria in a very select population. So we've knocked down the possibility that this particular cranberry extract is effective in this population. But then what's amazing is they editorialize on that. They say, well, you know, it's time to move on from cranberry because it doesn't work. Then the press picks it up. Cranberry is useless. Let's put that old wives' tales behind us and so on.
Mm-hmm.
And we're off to the races. And it's surprising that a journal of the supposed, you know, quality and rigor of Journal of the American Medical Association, when it comes to drugs, you know, they're very, very rigorous in their selection process, that they would publish what seems to be kind of a half-baked study on a natural product.
Exactly. And I'm actually really surprised that they even accepted the study, because it's rather unremarkable in my view, and in the view of others who've come out recently with rebuttals and letters to the editors and things, and there have been a few of them. We actually just had one accepted to the Journal of Urology, which will be coming out, where we state what you just said, basically. So, in essence, they were not testing for recurrent UTI prevention with cranberry. And so only 1% of the participants in both the active and the placebo groups had ever had a recurrent UTI. So these people weren't expected to get them in the first place.
Mm.
So it kind of, the accompanying editorial in JAMA really was what led to the bad press, because it was just carpet bombing, if you will, of cranberry. And you know, they basically said, all right, all cranberry products of any type, all demographics, no, it's not going to benefit anybody, just throw in the towel. And then it went on to state, let's stick with antibiotics.
Yikes. Yeah.
So this is the troubling thing to me, in that, you know, we have a global antibiotic resistance problem that's increasing exponentially every year. And, you know, cranberry has been the only alternative, if you will, to help with this problem. And they're just throwing it right into the trash instead of focusing on, doing a very good, recurrent UTI study with cranberry. And really showing that, yes, indeed, it does work, because we have studies like that from the past. And I'm just sort of a little bit stupefied by the whole thing happening the way it did. So I think.
If I may quote you from you wrote some comments on this when the study came out last November. You wrote, it is quite surprising and frankly very disappointing that an internationally recognized medical journal such as JAMA would publish a study like this, accompanied by an editorial that was completely dismissive of cranberry without soliciting commentary from researchers that have previously studied cranberries and UTI prevention and are familiar with some of the research caveats that have influenced the outcomes of previous studies. I think that's very well stated. So you, having had experience with studies that are confirmatory of cranberry benefits, well, tell us about those studies. What do those studies show? And, you know, what was the form of cranberry used? I mean, is it you go to market and drink a glass of Ocean Spray cranberry juice and it's going to be all good?
Mm-hmm. Well, interestingly, just one final point on the JAMA study is this wasn't the fault of the product that was used. Mm-hmm. The product that was used was one of the best products in the world that we've ever tested in our lab. And so it wasn't the fault that, oh, we don't have a good standardized product. This was well standardized and the dosage was right. So that's one of the first things we look for, as I mentioned.
Mm-hmm. And that could be a problem.
What sort of cranberry?
Yeah, that could be a problem
absolutely.
In a study. They could be like underdosing or using the wrong form.
Yep,
you know, that not often happens. They'll dismiss the benefits of a certain supplement or herb. And then we look at the dosage and we say, well, that's a trivial dose or that's, you know, the wrong form.
Absolutely. And that is not the case with this particular study. It was just methodological flaws, and it was an editorial accompanying this that overstated the whole thing. So we just constantly are pushing back on this type of thing, and we would really prefer that the media looked at some of the good studies that have come out in the past. And, you know, we see results literally with a lot of different forms of cranberry. We see results with the regular cranberry juice cocktail that you can buy in the market. We see results with 8 to 10 ounces of that cocktail, which contains about 27% cranberry. It has to be watered, and it has to have some sort of sweetener added to it because cranberry just does not have any natural sugar, so to speak.
Right. It's very
and it's very difficult to consume.
Tart. Yeah. You know, kind of,
right.
Wow, you need
right.
something.
So that, you know, if you're going to do a study with the juice, it has to be sweetened in some way, either with sugar or with another juice or with a non-nutritive sweetener that's low calorie and has no carbs, if you will. But those studies have come out positively, and there was a recent one showing in reduction in recurrent UTI with women. So we see the juice working. We also see the powders working. There have been quite a few studies looking at a different cohorts. There was one study that came out of University of Michigan recently on people following surgery, and they had catheters inserted. So, you know, there's a whole lot of different groups in which cranberry is effective, and the different product types are effective, but I think we're really getting a handle on this now because the studies that are coming out for prevention of urinary tract infections are actually coming out positively because we have been paying attention to what the critics have been saying, so to speak. So I am very hopeful that we can utilize cranberry in the urological world, if you will, as a preventative, and we can sort of move away from using low-dose antibiotics as a preventative because that's still used by urologists today, and that really increases the antibiotic resistance problems.
Indeed.
So why not use something that's natural, that isn't going to hurt you, and, you know, that people can manage their own health and they don't have to run to the doctor every time they get an infection. Let's just keep everybody on good doses of standardized cranberry material, and I think it will go a long way.
And the mode of action of cranberry is kind of unique because antibiotics attack the bugs. They break the cell wall of the bacteria, or they attack the reproductive apparatus of the bacteria in some way. They basically are antibacterial. But from what I've read, it seems that cranberry has a unique mode of action. Can you explain that?
Well, it does. It's actually a very elegant mode of action, if I do say so myself. You know, and nature does a great job at this. I mean, plants are great chemists. They come up with these amazing molecules that do incredible things. And cranberry is no exception. These proanthocyanidins actually prevent the bacteria from sticking to the bladder wall. And if you know anything about infections with bacteria, bacteria have to bind to a surface in the body, to a cellular receptor in the body, in order to grow and multiply and cause infection.
I think there's something to do with what are called little pili, which are little tentacles of the bacteria that, mm-hmm. that reach out and grab onto the cell wall.
Right. I mean, the E. coli bacteria that causes UTIs, it looks like a little motorboat. It's got little hairs that come out on all sides. It's rod-shaped, and it has a little tail on it, and it's able to swim around. And usually it comes in from the outside and works its way up into the bladder. And if you consume a cranberry product, within about 30 minutes, some anti-adhesive molecules appear in the bladder, and they will cause a response where these little hairs or pili, that it attaches to those pili, and it kind of forms like a Teflon coating, if you will, around mm-hmm. these bacteria, and they're not able to bind to the bladder wall, and they flush out in your urine stream and do not cause an infection. Hmm. And the important thing here is we're not killing the bacteria. So you're not going to develop resistance to cranberry. If you take it, you know, every day of your life, you're still going to maintain its potency. And that's very important, and that's not the case with an antibiotic.
Is it an either-or thing, or can people who sometimes require antibiotics simultaneously take cranberry and thus boost the efficacy of the antibiotic? Is that possible? There's a synergy?
Yes. Yes, we have seen that in the lab. We haven't published it yet, but we do see some increase in antibiotic effectiveness if they're getting a little sluggish. We do see that. And cranberry certainly doesn't reduce the effectiveness of antibiotics. In fact, if you get a UTI, you really want to go to the doctor and get on an antibiotic. You don't want to rely on the cranberry
right.
to treat your infection.
I think
so
that's an important
make that
message.
Clear.
Yep, that's an important
caveat. It is.
Yeah.
However, there is a window of time we've seen that within about the first 12 hours that you feel the symptoms. Sometimes people can take the cranberry and it'll resolve the symptoms.
Mm-hmm.
But if it goes beyond, you know, a day, you really need to get in and get on some antibiotics.
Okay. Well, good. You've laid the groundwork for a discussion of cranberry, and I think we pushed back against claims that cranberry is worthless against UTIs. But obviously, you've been working on this for more than two decades. Surely you've uncovered more evidence for health benefits from blueberries and cranberries. And I want to pick your brains on that subject when we return. We divide these podcasts into two parts. And when we return in part two with today's guest, Dr. Amy Howell, she's from the Marucci Center for Blueberry and Cranberry Research at Rutgers, the State University of New Jersey. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is Intelligent Medicine Podcast.